Well, we're going to get into God's Word here. We've been working the book of Acts, and we're into chapter 12. We're going to be taking a look at chapter 12. And, of course, in chapter 10, we saw Cornelius, the first Gentile, get born again, as recorded in the book of Acts. And so the word was spreading around. It was getting around to a lot of different people, the Gentiles. Any and everybody were candidates to receive God's word and become Christians and have a Christian lifestyle. You know, it's one thing to be a Christian, get born again, right? But it's another thing to act like a Christian, to live what you have. You know, I've seen examples of, the guy that owns Walmart, he's dead now, but started Walmart and was in the South. I think he was Missouri. Arkansas, I think it was. And what is his name?
Sam Walton.
And I think he started in Benton, a little town of Benton, that little 5 and 10 store that he bought and started his businesses. And but you would never know he was a billionaire because he drove around in an old jalopy pickup truck. You'd never know he was so rich. And you know, sometimes I see believers and you wonder, are they really believers? Because they don't look like they're blessed. They're not really walking in the fullness of who they are in Christ. And so it's a big deal to know that you're a Christian and then to walk like a Christian. I saw something today that I want to share with you that talks about three kinds of Christians. And this is from E. Stanley Jones. He lived way back when, 100 years ago, and was quite a dynamic man of God back in the day. And he talked about three kinds of Christians. And I want to read this for you. There are three kinds of Christians: the rowboat type, the sailboat type, and the steamboat type. The rowboat type is the type that is humanistic, self-dependent, trying to get on with its own resources. But as those resources are limited, the progress is limited. The sailboat type depends on the winds. They are the people who are dependent on circumstances, the other dependent ones. If the winds are with them, if people are constantly complimenting them and encouraging them, they get on. But if the patting on the back stops, they stop. They are circumstance conditioned, not very dependable Christians. Then there is the steamboat type. Those who have power on the inside and they go on whether winds are favorable or unfavorable. It is true they go on faster when there is a helping wind, but nevertheless they go on, wind or no wind. They have an inner adequacy. They are not self-dependent nor circumstance-dependent, but Christ-dependent. They are dependable. This power to go on when life is dead against us is the deepest necessity of our lives. In victorious living, this becomes a working fact. E. Stanley Jones in Victorious Living, 1936. Yeah. So I thought that would bless you to see that, since we're looking at the book of Acts, and these are the acts of the believers, the Christian believers, different ones. So let's go to chapter 12 in the book of Acts. And see what we have here. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Now, this takes place here. This is right after some great things happened. The word was being multiplied. Barnabas and Saul were working together. They helped each other out. And Herod, the king, was a little upset seeing these Christians being so successful. And this is about 17 years after the day of Pentecost. Okay, so Christianity started on the day of Pentecost. And for 17 years, it's carried on. It's about 44 AD. And Herod is getting upset to the point in verse 2, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. So here, James, one of the 12, was killed by the King Herod. And what a drastic event, obviously, for the believers to go through and experience. Let's keep your finger there. And let's go to Matthew. I just want to share with you that he's one of the 12 apostles, and he was a brother of John. And there's another James that we don't want to get mixed up with, okay? So in Matthew 4, 21, and this is where Jesus is getting his disciples together. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them out. Now, you know, Peter was a fisherman, his brother Andrew, they worked together. And so here was these two sons of Zebedee, James and John. And this is the James that was killed by the king Herod. Verse 3, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, you know, the Jews didn't like these Christians taking over all the glory and getting all the attention here. So they were happy to see James killed. And so because it pleased the Jews, Herod proceeded further to take Peter also. Let's get the head guy. So he gets Peter. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after, the King James says Easter, it's the talking about the Passover, to bring him forth to the people. So, you know, they put Peter in the prison. We'll see that they stick him in the deep part of the prison, not only with a couple guys on him, but with 16 soldiers keeping Peter so that nothing happened, that he wouldn't escape. So verse 5, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But what happens? What do we do when people are in trouble? What do we do when someone's hurt?
Pray.
We pray for them, right? Situation's not going their way. Something's going on. We pray for each other. And so that's what the believers were doing. Here, Peter was in prison. And the next thing he's going to know is his neck's going to be on the line. And so the believers were praying without ceasing of the church of unto God for him. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, this is right before Herod would have brought him forth, that same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Now, if you knew you were going to be confronting Herod and have your neck chopped off, probably, would you be asleep? I know I wouldn't be. Boy, oh boy, but Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, and there were 16 of them, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. I mean, they had him lock, stock, and barrel. They just had him put away. No way could he ever get out of there. Well, verse 7. There's always a way with God, isn't there? God always will make a way. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. A light shined in the prison. I mean, they're in the deep part of the prison here, no light at all. And here this angel comes in, a light shines in the prison, and he smotes Peter on the side. Peter was snoring away. I just can't imagine that, knowing what was going to happen the next morning. But there he was. And the angel smote him on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. He had these chains on his hands. He was bound to the soldiers and to the wall. And they dropped right off. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him. And wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw, what? A vision. He thought he was dreaming this. And when they were past the first and the second ward, I told you they were in the deep part of the prison there. They came, after this first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. He didn't have to push anything, or he didn't have to, you know, get out that cake that the believers brought him and had a saw in it, you know, and he could saw the, no. The door opened on its own accord. Wow. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. So here he was out of prison in the city streets. The angel's gone. He's kind of scratched. Is this a dream or what? What's going on here? And when Peter came to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together. And what were they doing? Praying. They were praying for Peter, right? To get delivered, somehow get out of there. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. You know, in those days, they kind of knocked on the door by just yelling out, hey, anybody home in there? This is Peter. You guys home in there? And of course, it says Rhoda heard, understood this was Peter's voice. So did she open the door?
No.
No, it says she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood out before the gate. Poor Peter's left standing out in the street there. And she's in there telling everybody, here's Peter's out there. And what was their response?
You're crazy,
you're
out of your mind.
You are mad. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. Now, they just weren't really believing that big, were they? If they were praying for this deliverance, they should have been believing for it. When you pray, believe. Well, when she constantly affirmed that it was even so, then said they, Oh, it's his angel. But Peter continued knocking or yelling out, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, it's really Peter. But he, beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. Now, obviously, this is another James, right? It's not James of the 12. This is actually James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Now, you know by the records in the Bible that Mary had a number of children, had several sons and daughters. And James was not the oldest son. Jesus was the oldest son, but he was next in line. It's interesting that he became a leader of the church. A lot of people will say he was kind of the administrative leader, where the disciples were prophets. They went out, Paul and those guys, Barnabas and Silas, and James was watching over Jerusalem, the headquarters, so to speak, and was in charge of the church there. So this is who this is. So go show these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. Now, what does it mean, no small stir?
It was a big one.
Figure of speech. 16 soldiers. I could just see the sergeant, sergeant in the guard jumping on these 16 guys. There's 16 of you. You couldn't hold down Peter? Come on. Well, things didn't bode very well for those guards. And so they found him not. He examined the keepers and commanded that they, verse 19, and they should be put to death, the keepers. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord of him. Now, Caesarea is on the coast, and so is these two other towns. They're north of Caesarea, okay? And so here's this Herod putting on and being a pretty big shot there. And having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a god and not a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. He died. But the word of God did what?
Grew
and multiplied. Not only added, but it multiplied. So, you know, pretty interesting times here where believers' lives were on the line here, and yet there's God's wonderful deliverance, and the word kept moving out. It grew and multiplied. in verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So pretty wild chapter here in light of what happened with Peter and the other believers here. So pretty neat, huh? Well, I thought if you didn't understand anything that I shared with you, or you needed some kind of a review, that maybe I can show you a little video of what happened in chapter 12. So when the TV warms up here, this is chapter 12.
Acts 12. Herod kills James. An angel frees Peter. About the time when the Gentiles were being added to the church, King Herod killed the apostle James, the brother of John. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he seized Peter also. He put Peter in prison and assigned four groups of four soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him forth to the people. Seeing this, the church prayed earnestly to God for Peter. The night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Other guards stood before the door of the prison. Then an angel of the Lord stood by Peter, and a light shone in the cell, and he hit Peter on the side to wake him up. The angel said, "Get up, quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. The angel said, "Get dressed and put on your sandals," and Peter did so. Then the angel said, "Follow me." So Peter followed the angel, thinking he was dreaming, not realizing it was actually happening. They went past the first and the second guard, and they came to the iron gate that led into the city, which swung open by itself, and they went through and down one street. The angel departed, and Peter suddenly realized where he was and that the Lord had delivered him from Herod. After thinking about it, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered together praying. He knocked at the door of the gate, and a maid named Rhoda came to answer it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she forgot to open the gate in her joy, but ran in and told them that Peter stood before the gate. They said to her, "You're crazy." But she confidently affirmed that it was so. They said, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they finally opened the gate and saw him, they were amazed. But he beckoned them to hold their peace and told how the Lord had sent his angel to rescue him. He said, "Tell these things to James, the brother of Jesus, and to the brethren," and he went to another place. Now, as soon as it was day, the soldiers could not figure out what had become of Peter. When Herod did not find him, he questioned the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And Herod went down from Judea to Caesarea and lingered there. The people of Tyre and Sidon came to Herod and asked for peace, because their country was fed from the king's country. So Herod dressed himself in royal apparel and sat on the throne and made a speech to them. The people shouted, "The voice of God and not a man!" Herod accepted the praise and did not give God the glory. So an angel of the Lord struck him, and he was eaten by worms and died. The word of God grew and multiplied.
All right. So, pretty cute, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's chapter 12. Any thoughts or comments? Pretty interesting.
How much time passed by the time when the believers got together and started praying? How much time actually went by and their prayer was really answered? It sounded like it was pretty speedily from what I read.
I would think it's the same day or the next day.
Yes, he's thrown in prison.
And I don't think Herod was going to wait a week or 2 weeks, he was ready to get Peter the next day.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Pretty phenomenal.
Back to the matter, it's prayers for answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. All right. Well, Father, thank you that you do answer prayer, that you are so concerned about our lives, and especially in light of holding forth your word, that the word can reach out and multiply. And may we be a part of that, Father. May we be a part of holding forth the words of life and make available the new birth and help people see the greatness of who they are in Christ. So we're sure grateful and thankful that we can be your kids and have this opportunity. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay.